It's warm for January, 50 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. At 8:50, it's time now for the pre-opening market report on WYLL with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade gap unexpectedly widened in November as non-petroleum imports, such as cell phones, hit record highs. The U.S. deficit increased 15.8% to $48.73 billion from a revised $42.06 billion the month before. The trade deficit with China narrowed by 1.7% to $28.95 billion. Meanwhile, the Labor Department today says that the cost of goods imported into the U.S. declined again in December. Import prices decreased by 0.1% last month. Imported petroleum costs fell 0.8% in December. Costs for food, feeds, and grains slid 0.2% during the month. U.S. drought conditions overall eased in the last week, but conditions in the country's farm belt did not significantly improve. The High Plains, which stretches from Colorado and Kansas to North Dakota, is still 86.20% in severe drought or worse, and that number is unchanged from last week. Private exporters reported this morning to the USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans to China during the 2012 and 13 marketing year. The marketing year for soybeans began on September 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,451, is down 19 points. The NASDAQ, 3123, is up 1.25. The S&P 500 is 1470, and it is down 2 points.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Some beneficial moisture has occurred across a part of the Midwest in the last 24 hours, and we're going to see another wave of energy move through the region near this weekend to expand upon what has already occurred. Rainfall in the last 24 hours has been greatest in the extreme southeastern and east central portions of Illinois and neighboring areas of southern and western Indiana into a part of Michigan. Amounts have run anywhere from 3/10 to 1 inch, with some 1 to 2 inch amounts suggested in the Doppler radar imagery in some parts of some of that southern part of the region there in southwestern Indiana and along the Illinois border. Another pocket of better rainfall running from 1/2 inch to 1 inch may be occurring from the interior portions of western Illinois into the north central parts of the state. All this precipitation was certainly welcome. We've heard reports that the Mississippi is rising from St. Louis down towards the confluence with the Ohio rivers, and we will likely see that continue with yet another round of precipitation and some additional melting snow that will work its way through the river systems as we go through these next few days. Now, colder air will be settling into the middle of the country as we move through the weekend and into next week, and as that cold air reaches into parts of the Mississippi and Missouri river systems, we'll see those rivers ice up again, and we'll likely see the river flow reduced again. Now, additional rain is likely to occur this weekend across the eastern Midwest and the Delta. In fact, some additional rain totals could easily run 1 to 2.5 inches across some of this region, and that's additional moisture that the ground cannot absorb, and runoff will likely be widespread. So we'll likely see the potential for a little bit of standing water, maybe some minor flooding in general likely to occur in a few locations. This is the last in the series of wet weather biased systems that have been plaguing parts of the eastern Midwest for a little while. We'll take a break, maybe a week to 10 days worth, and then set the stage for maybe some more storminess a little bit later in the month. The precipitation will also work its way southeastward into portions of the southeastern United States. Now, this cold air that I mentioned coming into the plains will be rather impressive. We need to watch it a little bit more closely, because there's not much snow on the ground now in western portions of Kansas, eastern Colorado, and Nebraska. These areas will likely see temperatures near or slightly below 0 degrees Fahrenheit as we finish out the weekend and go into early next week. temperatures will normally be close enough for potential damage, but these crops are fairly well hardened, and I don't think they're going to be subjected to any serious bout of cold or that would be damaging for the region, even if they are snow-free and we get down close to zero. I think the temperatures are going to have to go much further lower for a longer period of time before there would be any serious damage, but it still warrants a close watch. Now, the rest of the Midwest will likely see cooling as well, but we're not going to get quite that cold. You might be aware, though, that the northwestern Corn Belt and the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota will see temperature extremes dropping into the negative teens and negative 20s as we get into the late weekend and early part of next week. Sub-zero readings will occur across parts of Iowa and Nebraska as well, but we're not expecting that in the eastern part of the Midwest. Instead, the unusually warm weather that we've been seeing will turn a bit cooler. Temperatures will fall below average later next week, but we won't be nearly as cold in the eastern Midwest as we will be in the west. And the specifics on those temperatures over these next couple of days will go like this. We'll expect to see unusually warm weather continuing in the eastern Midwest here over this next day or two, with progressive cooling from west to east as we move forward through the heart of the weekend. Afternoon temperatures today across the Midwest will likely be in the 40s and 50s, with some 60-degree readings from Kansas into the Ohio River Valley. We'll expect the warmest weather to become more confined to the region from the Ohio River Valley into the state of Ohio as we go through the day of Saturday, with, again, 50s and 60s and a couple of extremes coming close to 70 degrees. But in contrast to that, temperatures on Saturday and Sunday afternoons in the northwestern Corn Belt may be limited to the teens and 20s in quite a few areas. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. In the electronic trade right now, March wheat in Kansas City at 796 and a half unchanged. March wheat in Chicago, 744 and three quarters, up a quarter. March corn, 696 and a half, down 2 1/4. July, 687 and three quarters, down 2 3/4. December, 582, down 2. January soybeans, 1406 and a half, down 11. March, 1363 and three quarters, down 16. July, 1352 and a half, down 14 and three quarters. November, 1273, down 9. January soybean meal, 405.50, down 320. March, 398.10, down 750. January soybean oil, 49.13, down 26. March, 49.52, down 23. February live cattle, 131.42 and a half, down 12 and a half. January feeders, 150.80, down a nickel. February lean hogs, 84.47 and a half, down 12 and a half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning to Super Bowl Friday, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
We do have 5 reports out this morning, if you include that there are 2 crop production reports. There's a January, then there's the annual report.
Right.
We're more concerned with the annual report because of the corn and soybean implications. When you see these reports at 11 o'clock, what will be one or the 2 key numbers that will provide direction for trade?
Well, I think that the stocks are going to be the real interesting number because they influence both, you know, usage as well as production, or, you know, that they tell us something about usage and production. And I think that's the number that a lot of people are really going to be looking at, as well as, you know, how that projects out from the USDA standpoint into ending stocks for, you know, the 2012-13 crop year.
So we're looking at how much corn might have been rationed, and we're also looking to see if there was any new crop stocks that were actually used up as old crop stocks, and if so, how much?
Yeah. And I think on corn, you know, if you get a number down there, 8.1 billion on hand as of these first or less than that, I think that probably is pretty friendly to the market. Something up there at 8.3 or above is definitely on the bearish side.
So you think corn has the most volatility in it coming out of the reports?
I believe so, but, you know, you never know going in one of these USDA reports. They could have some big surprise on beans, but I think with the drop that we've seen in the bean market, that if the corn report is neutral or friendly, that I think it would be, you know, even with a bearish report on beans, I think it could be hard maybe to, you know, move big, like, limit-type numbers. But we'll see. I sure wouldn't want to, you know, bet against that too hard.
This is the first report where we have It released at 11 o'clock Central Time, 12 o'clock Eastern Time in open outcry trade. Only 3 hours of trading remaining for the day, and in fact, 3 hours of trading remaining for the week. Does that influence the potential volatility?
Yeah, I think that probably is the biggest difference compared to, you know, the 7:30 time frame that we've been having is the shorter period till the close, more time after the close in this case, you know, to think about for a couple of days. But really, I mean, the way the market reacts in this day and age, you know, an hour is probably plenty of time to see where the, you know, thing wants to settle out. So,
thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Your current tick, March corn, 696 down 2 3/4. July, 687 and a quarter down 3 1/4. March soybeans, 1363 1/2 down 16 1/4. November, 1272 1/4 down 9 3/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.